Our next speaker is from Boscobel, Wisconsin. And it is a small area, small town. And he's kind of a big guy on campus there, especially compared to his neighbor, the Eggman. And so our next speaker has a difficult last name to pronounce. Okay? So the challenge is that every time I pronounce a word, usually someone corrects me. All right? I can't help it. You know, sometimes I think in German, sometimes I think in Spanish, sometimes I think in English, and words just kind of get tumbling out sometimes, like, you know, timbrels. Like, who would have thought? I thought it was tamales, you know? So that's when my Spanish brain's looking at things. So this name, I'm not sure what cultural background it might have come from. It's M-E-C-I-K-A-L-S-K-I. And so I have to, you know, enunciate things. So when I was taught in grade school, it was phonics, right? So you have to sound it out, all right? So this is the only way I know how to sound it out. Me, see, cow, ski. All right, so think about this. I mean, all our names come from some part of our past, right? And so he's got this great ancestor that's probably in the Alps someplace, comes home and tells his family, Misikowski! And they locked him up. Just like, what's wrong with you, right? All right. So, sorry, that was as good as it gets. I lost my job in Las Vegas, appearing weekly. Mike has been married for 28 years. Four of them to Diane, that she's willing to count anyway. They have a daughter. I'm sorry, she is the daughter of Carl Nave, but they have two daughters. And he has been involved in the mystery and in Right Division for 40 years, which, you know, says that obviously being in this doesn't preclude you from finding a good match that will be like-minded, as was the case with me on the beach in Mexico. Not that that's a suggestion as to where you should go find your spouse, okay? So just put that out of your mind. I don't want to put any bad thoughts there. All right, so unusual fact. I said fun or unusual fact. So I'm not sure which one this was. He said, I thought I would be rich and famous by the time I was 30. I was wrong. Is that fun?
That was fun.
Okay, because it's not unusual. All right?
I was just the opposite. But I'm rich in the Lord, big time.
But what would make you think that living in Boscobel would make you famous?
That's what I mean.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
All right.
See, that's the joke.
So, fine. Great. He being from Wisconsin, they only have one color there. It's green, right? And just like we only have one color here, it's brown. So of course his favorite color is that which is on a mallard duck.
Oh, that's good.
Well, one of them.
You know, it baffles me that he would say on a mallard duck as opposed to on a Green Bay Packer.
Well, that's
wrong color green.
Yeah, that's the wrong color.
And that's my point?
Yeah.
Okay? All right. So, he has a title here that's too long. It's almost as long as Tony's bio. And so I'm going to let him explain it because it's not one that's going to be easily explained by a title. With that, Mike.
Okay.
Mikowski. All right. Wait a second here. Yeah, did you ever see a mallard duck?
Mike on.
Yeah. Did you ever take a look at a mallard duck?
Yes.
Yeah.
In my hands.
Yeah. No less. Yeah. Here is this. I'm going to do this. That's a joke. You know, it's like I don't know what that is, but Forrest said that. That's No, no, that's okay. Forrest said that that's what you have to endure. And he says, haven't you ever seen any, what the actors have, the actresses and actresses have to go through? And I'm just thinking, man, they're eye doctors. They must be making a fortune out there. Because, well, whatever. But can we start now? Okay, good. Yeah, sorry about that. It's an honor and a privilege to be here among all of you saints. And in fact, we are saints of the Most High God. That's a fact. And we are adopted sons of the Most High God. And that's a fact. And that fact in itself is astounding. I want to say that I'm thankful that I've heard all of these messages. I think all of them go together beautifully, if you think about it. And like Tony's, that was one of the best messages I ever heard him give. Not saying that the other messages weren't great. I'm just saying that a lot of folks don't like to talk about real things that really happened to them. And as a matter of fact, in 2015, as adopted sons of God, real things are really happening to us. All of these things that we know about the mighty God are not a joke. And all of it is very serious business. And we are human beings actually alive on this little dust ball that God Almighty came to redeem. And that's what truth is. That's what reality is. Not what mankind is doing. Not what mankind is thinking at all. And that's really a temptation today, especially in our modern world with all of its conveniences. You know, what man thinks is where it's at, not what God thinks. And so, what I was led to talk about is, I'm led to talk about the armor of God. And this goes along with affliction. It goes along with tribulation. It goes along with your calling, by the way, very importantly. And we're going to hopefully see that. I'm going to dissect the armor of God as to its parts, because this is what God, the Holy Spirit, has written. He has written about an armor, and he's put this armor in a special place, and he's put this armor at the end of the book of Ephesians, and that's a really important fact that we have to understand. All right, so I'm going to open this up with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, our dear Heavenly Father, through your Son, the Lord and Savior, as witnessed and sealed by the Holy Spirit, we pray upon this message, and that it is from your precious word, and we are just broken vessels that convey in our mouthpieces for your unspeakable, awesome, unspeakable truths. And we pray that, and I pray personally, that this message would go out to all of you individually, and that what you are facing as in truth, adopted sons of God on this planet, that what I'm going to speak forth here might help you understand how really important your life is, how really important your calling is, and how really important putting on this armor is in 2015. In the name of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Well, Jeremiah states, thus, Jeremiah 9:23, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man or woman glory in their wisdom, neither let the mighty man or woman glory in their might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him or her that glories glory in this, that he or she understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So let us glory in the fact of what Almighty God has given us. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. And this is something that, is not new to you. But I believe that it's really important for us to understand what this armor is and what it's about, and
why the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul has placed this, especially at the end of Ephesians. And let me make this statement. Here's a statement. As to all, I know you people, but I, as Tony was saying there, I don't know what your minute-to-minute experience is. I don't know what your minute-to-minute trial is, but in fact, we all are go through trial and affliction. And some of the points that Tony made were extremely important, because we might not understand at times these things that come upon us. But the fact of the matter is that God is putting us through a purification process and a process of becoming full sons. That's what He's doing. He's perfecting us. And He's doing that in a way that our flesh doesn't totally comprehend all the time, because He does things in ways that we don't know and we have to get to know, or that we don't understand, because He is God and we are men and women in this fallen state. All right? But the fact of the matter is He wants us to trust Him in all things. That's for sure. So, let me make this statement. As to a spiritual warfare, you are in a spiritual warfare. That's a fact. If you know the mystery, you are in a heavy spiritual warfare.
Amen.
There's no getting away from it. If you are convinced that you're not, you're overcome by the heavy spiritual warfare already. Okay? Because you are in a spiritual war. If you know the mystery, the high calling of God, this makes you the bullseye for the evil one. There's no doubt about it. In whatever way or fashion he works, we're going to look at some of his devices. But I wrote this down. Is it odd for us in our human experience to be required by God Almighty to enter into a spiritual war, a spiritual battle? Is it odd to our human experience? Well, maybe I can say yes. But what I'm saying is, if like you step back and go, a spiritual warfare, I'm just a woman, I'm just a man, how can this be? All right? Is it odd in our experience? Well, the fact of the matter is, it is our experience. That's what I'm getting at. And if you reel back and you say to yourself, this is too odd for me, well, you're in trouble already thinking that, because you're leaning to your flesh and not to the power of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Because I can say this, our God is Spirit. I'm making a point here. We worship Him in Spirit and truth. We are sealed by God the Holy Spirit, and we have the earnest of the Holy Spirit. And so, if you're a believer, you have stepped from death into life. And it's what another speaker has said about our experiences that occur to us once we are called by God and we're moving to the grave. He was everlasting and moved to the grave. We are called out of death, go to the grave, and move to the everlasting. These are facts that are actually happening. Actual. This isn't something that most religions will teach that is going to occur when your so-called life is over. All right, Stefan mentioned that. And that's very important. All of these things that the speakers mentioned today, like marriage and unity, is extremely important, because in fact, if you are believers in the mystery and you are married, that is a strong bond unless you allow that to be destroyed. All right? And you can do that by not putting on the armor of God, because you're in a spiritual battle. This has nothing to do with what the world dictates as far as what your lives are about, how important your lives are, your accomplishments, any of that. That is a worldly way of thinking. And you really have to understand that, because in this society we're sucked into that. But you are called out from that in this modern society. You are. And we are coming to the end of dates, I believe. Like, I personally believe the Lord will be back on the planet within the next 60 to 70 years, myself. And so we see that the world doesn't even care about him anymore at all. But that's nothing new, all right? That's nothing new at all. So we have that to deal with. But nevertheless, you have to realize who God is and what he's done for you. And that's an astounding thing. He's chosen you out for his finest calling. That was his sacred secret revealed. He's done that. That's what he's done. That's what he's done for you. If you realize his calling, that is what he has done for you. And then he says to you, you have an opponent. I have an opponent, he says. I've had an opponent all along. You have the same opponent. I've given you my precious calling. You have this opponent, and it's a spiritual battle, because he is a spirit, as I am. That's what's going on. Okay, so we look at this armor. We look at this armor, and we read in Ephesians 6, it says, Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Okay, that's important because his might is not our might. His might is something that's, if you're walking correctly, is automatic. You don't have to yearn for it. You don't have to seek for it. It's automatic if you are walking worthy of your calling.
Amen.
And the difference from that, the difference from when your mind can switch and turn off, turn on, turn off, turn on. It happens to us probably multiple times during the day. And that has to do with the old man and the new man. The scriptures teach us that in our calling. And so you have the old man, new man, and you have a spiritual warfare going on while you live. Now, this is, could you say, should we reel back and say, this is too much for me. I can't handle all of that. In him you can. And that's the point.
Amen.
All right? So if you think to yourself, what, I have these minions against me, these powers against me that I don't even understand. I don't even know the power of them. They know me more than I know them. How can that be? How can the Lord allow me to be placed in that position? Because if his word is true, that's a fact. How can you do that to me, Lord? How is that possible? Why would you do that? All right? And I think this all goes along, testing, trial, all the things he wants to perfect in us, the trust in him, the faith in him. All right? I know this is a lot of preliminary, but it all is really important to our experience. We are not willy-nilly people. We are called by Almighty God. I mean, seriously. Not that we're anything. Okay. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in the heavenlies. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Therefore stand, having your loins girt about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the good message of peace. By the way, there are multiple gospels in the scriptures. Don't ever be taken in by the simple person that says that, well, I worship the gospel. I follow the gospel. I said this before. Which one? There's many gospels. So I don't like the word. Personally, I like the good message. Because there's many good messages. The mystery is a good message. The message during the book of Acts about Israel being blinded and the Gentiles being grafted in, that's a good message. So when you say, that's why I replace the word gospel, because there's many people out there that believe that there is only one, and that is very short-sighted, is not true at all. All right? So we understand the good message or the gospel of the dispensation of the mystery. You know that.
And having your feet shod with the preparation of the good message of peace above all.
All right, now look at what the Holy Spirit is saying in some of these brief words. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye are able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked. I'll be talking about that a little. And take on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Gets back to what the guys were saying about praying for each other and us about being a unit here, about us having the same mind in the Lord. That has to do with our calling. That has to do with rightly dividing the scriptures and us to be able to communicate with each other, and so that we have joy bouncing our calling off each other's hearts. Do you know that? That's why we can say, hey, you're more a sister to me than my own sister, or you're more of a brother to me than my own brother. Because we have a bond of the Almighty.
Amen.
I mean, seriously, and it's not a religious thing whatsoever. That is almost vulgar to talk about. This is as true and as real as it gets in life. This is abundant life here on this planet. And as the Lord would have it to be, He would have all peoples of the planet know the mystery. All right? But, in fact, they will not, and they can't, because of some of the things we'll read, and because of the opposer, and because of their own hearts and lusts. I mean, seriously, this is what we live in at the moment. It's really something else. I say it, every so often I step back, I can't believe what's happening on this little dust ball. What the Lord has done, what He's come to do, His Word, and what people are doing on this planet. It's incredibly something else. That's what I say. I can't believe it. You know, thinking about who He is.
Well, at any rate, let's look back at this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We should take verse 18, and we should really read that. Because that's as much a part of the armor as any other piece. And then this, and we can take this unto ourselves, I believe. And for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the good message of the mystery, or the mystery of the good message or gospel. And I think that through this prayer, we can have the mouthpiece of utterance to whomever the Lord draws into our path. So, we go back. What I'm going to do is we're going to go back to verse 10. It says, finally. That's important. Finally. Okay, here's some, I know a little bit of the Koine. Finally, that form is to loipu. And this is what it means.
folks, people of the mystery, at the end of what I have told you about your calling, do this. That's what that means. And what am I saying? This is what I'm saying. This is before the finally. These are some things before the finally. All right? I mean, seriously, listen to this. All right? Well, or not. But you can just seriously listen to this or not. But I believe this to be true. Because I believe the Holy Spirit through Paul is saying, after you have heard all of this, finally, brothers and sisters, put on this armor. So what's before the finally? Okay? I've wrote down some things here. This is before the finally. Blessed with every spiritual blessings in the super heavenlies. Listen to this. Chosen in him before the kata vale of the planet. Foreordained to sonship, not a child, to the sonship adoption through his beloved son. Having redemption through his son and forgiveness of all sins as if you never committed any. That's in the Greek. In front of a judge, he goes, what are you doing here? That's in the Greek. If you study out what the Lord has done for you, he has forgiven. You have forgiveness of your sins. Going before the judge, he says, what are you doing here? You've never sinned. Fact. You could say, oh, well, what does that mean? Think about it. Think about it. Our God is more glorious than we know. It's almost like you're kidding, okay? Somebody else, a forest there, forest there, he goes, yeah, well, I'm pond scum, and I'm like, wow, that's great, you know? And because, like, here's this guy, you know, wherever he went. I mean, he could be, you know, he could be high-minded and, you know, hoity-toity with his, whatever he drives, and look at his position here and stuff. But here is a man that, he comes before you as a son of God, and he says he's pond scum. And what I'm doing, I'm sitting back there, I'm going, man, that's great. Because this guy realizes who he is without the Lord. And that's the beginning of wisdom, the reverence of the Lord. Right? Abounding towards us, the Father has abounded towards us. Please listen. He's abounded towards us. Who is Almighty God? Who is the dear Heavenly Father? He's abounded towards you in all wisdom and discretion. That's what prudence means. Allowing you to know His sacred will. Okay, this is what being an adopted son is. And women are adopted sons, by the way. There's no sex involved here. You're an adopted son, whether you're a woman or a man of the mystery. And Almighty God, whoever that is in your mind, has made known the mystery of His will to you. All right, so I don't know how that sets with you, but that blasts me back. All right, so that's we're still going here. Being chosen as His own personal inheritance. If you study in Ephesians 1, I don't know if it's the Greek form ekleirothamen. And what it means is it talks about an inheritance in Ephesians 1, 12 or 13. What it actually means is that you are His heritage. Okay, we're keeping on going here. Do you get the drift of what I'm doing here? We're keeping on going here. It's because of these things that you put on the armor. It's because of these things that He wants you to put on this armor, because these things will be attacked mightily, mightily in you. Will they be taken away? No. But you walk in them, and they'll be attacked mightily. Yes?
Could I ask you to not go that direction any further than what you are? Because you're off camera.
And I don't believe this guy.
Sorry. So that rail, yeah. That yeah. Rail is there to keep you in place.
Okay. Are you sure my hair is combed okay?
No, it's not. And that clip on, really?
Yeah. Oh, let's not that, yeah. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. All right. It goes on to say that we are, this calling, We are sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? Well, did you know that the Holy Spirit is God? Did you know that?
Yes.
And that He witnesses the fact that you are called to the mystery. A stamp of approval. I mean, what these things are either as real can get, or they're just fantasies. And we know what they are, okay? All right, so I think we've got to get it into our noggins what the Lord has given to us and who we are to Him. Because I think sometimes we don't believe it because of the opposer. And we're going to go into that. The opposer, the battle that you're in. Who are you? Who are you to think that you're anything of these things of God? Is one thing He's going to whisper to you. You're kidding me. You think you are these things of the Most High God? You? Happens to me. I don't know what happens to you. But certainly He does that to me. Going on. Our hearts and understanding. I mean, I just have to mention these things because this is what this armor is about, okay? I hope this makes sense to you. Our hearts and our understanding are to know that the destiny of our calling is in the super heavenly Holy of Holies. Alright? And that is a study unto itself. But Christ Jesus the Lord stepped into the Holy of Holies once and for all. And we are the fullness of Him. That is something that we should try to fathom. Try to fathom that one, Stefan. And all of us. I mean, try to fathom that one. I mean, we got great thinkers here, great minds of the Lord going on in here, and this is what He wants. So He made known to us that we are His personal heritage, and that our calling is in the Holy of Holies. We are the fullness of the Creator. We are the fullness of the One that created all things. I mean, I don't know what this does for you. We understand and His revealed sacred secret, I call it the dispensation of the mystery, and that we are witnesses to principalities and powers in the heavenlies of His manifold wisdom. We were talking about that earlier. Does that occur after we die? Are we witnesses to, this is a valid question, are we witnesses to principalities and powers after we die? Or is that occurring now and after we are manifested in glory? Well, I believe, number two, door number two, I believe that it's occurring now, as real as our calling is, to principalities and powers, of the manifold wisdom of God. How much of an understanding of that do we have? Not a lot. Not a lot. And we can surmise why that is, that the Lord hasn't given us a volume of what the heavenlies look like. Or a volume of, well, this is going to happen to you because, and this is going to happen to you because. And the heavenlies look like this. And you're going to be manifested in this year. He doesn't do that. And that, you know, that's His business. And what do we know about principalities and powers? Well, we know how many, we have an idea of how many there are. We know that they had one principal go-between between the worship of God and them. That's the one, the destroyer. Lucifer, in the beginning, that fell. Why did that happen? Valid question. Some people say that God meant it to happen, that He created it to happen that way. I don't believe that the Scriptures teach that to be true at all. I believe that all of His creatures have the ability to pick and choose as they choose. And so did Lucifer. Okay, so let's go to... We read about what happens before the finally. Does that make sense to you? All right, so we're moving into this battle. And the reasons for this battle, I've enumerated a number of them. And let me tell you this, that I don't think Almighty God gives his gifts like this, his knowledge. Think about who he is. All right, I mean, really, think about who he is. And he chose all of you individually because of something about you. Something about you, a tenacity, a heart. And we'll find that the mind and the heart are connected. The tenacity you have when he reached down and he gave you this calling, how you accepted it in your heart, how you knew more than anything else that it was reality. There was something about us because we come from so many different arenas, right? You know, and all of us know our personal experience of being called to this calling and why and what happened. I do. I do. And I would pray to you, I would pray for you that you would know the impact of what he's done. You know, I'm not saying, well, who are you to tell, who are you to stand up and tell me what I should feel? I'm not. I'm saying that I would hope that you would know the impact of what he's done for you. All right, so we go back, and what I'm going to do is, how much time do I have?
30.
30? Thank you. Okay. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go all the way down to verse 16, and I'm going to read, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All right? We're going to look at that. Above all, it is the Greek form epipasin. And what epipasin means is, with all of these other pieces, the highest degree of significance should be given to this shield. Okay? And there's a reason for that. There's a reason. And let me just say this to you, individuals of the mystery. This is as serious as life and death. Okay? This is serious business. I have to stress that because it is your life.
Amen.
You know, it is your life. If you leave here, we all leave here, we go out back into this world, and we don't take these things seriously, you're going to run into avenues and trouble that you are not ready for. And you can be compromised, you can be watered down, you can be destroyed in the flesh. You can. And so, okay, this shield, a Roman shield. Now, a Roman shield was 4 feet by 2 feet. And it was made of heavy wood, and it had iron around it. All right, so, 4 feet by 2 feet, and it weighed 22 pounds. Did you ever lift a 20-pound piece of iron at all? 22 pounds. You can lift up a 25-pound plate, and if you consider that running full bore, guy's got to be in shape. Okay, but the point of it is that it's 4 feet wide, or no, 2 feet wide and 4 feet high. And so if I got down underneath that, it would cover my whole body. You'd say, well, you're short. Short people live longer. But even if you were as tall as Ronnie, he could get down really good below that. And if you know, and during Roman times is when the Lord lived and when the apostles lived, right? So is it a proper to apply these weapons to a Roman soldier? Yes. I'm going to just flat out say yes. That I think that Paul had in mind a Roman soldier with the shield. And what they did is, as they moved, they turtled up, like in war. They used to have, they used to call arrow shooters cowards, archers, because you get 500 archers, woof, you know, boom, boom, you're throwing these arrows up at these guys, and clouds of these arrows are raining down. What the Romans did is they turtled up. They put some shields over their heads, some shields in front of them,
some shield behind them, and these massive amounts of arrows, javelins didn't kill them. And so I think that's the point. And so this shield, what is it the shield of? It's the shield of faith. All right, it's a shield of faith. Now, how does the Almighty God, after knowing your calling, how does He want you to walk? How does He want you to think about Him? Does He want you to think about Him by what you feel or smell or see on the planet? Is that how you understand Him? No, it's by faith and it's by His Word. Okay? Now, when the Son of God was here, was He tempted? Who was He tempted by? And what did He say? All right, we're going to look at that. All right? So, we're going to look at this shield of faith. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, while it should be better red, all the spears of intense fire that can melt metal of the evil one. When these temptations come upon you, it can be as easily translated in the Greek, and better so, all the fiery spears that have intense fire that can melt metal that come at you, quench it with this shield. These temptations are not little pinpricks. They have the power to destroy you. When we understand that Paul talks about the devices of the evil one, right? That we can quench all of the intense fiery spears of the evil one. Paul in 2 Corinthians 2 talks about the devices of the evil one. Let's look there. I just want to talk about this a little bit because this has to do with what's coming at you. Is everybody still with me? You're kind of quiet. You're not passing out or anything, are you?
We're
going to
turtle up.
Oh, turtle up. You're turtling up? Okay, but, you know, just think about this. I mean, that's a fact. That's what they did. Oh, by the way, their spears were engineered pretty well, too, those Roman spears for throwing and stuff. You know, so they could hit their mark and do their job. 2 Corinthians. Now, this is very interesting to me. 2 Corinthians 2. And I just, we're moving through this because we have to understand what might be thrown at us. Right? So here we are, Mike. Okay, you're talking, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is talking about this armor. It's as real as you breathing. All right? And you're talking about this armor we put on. You're talking about these devices or temptations of the evil one that could mean eventual life or death for you. You can be led down in any path. Did you know that? Okay. I want to kind of blast you with that. All right? I mean, you know, how strong do you think you are by yourself? Okay? Okay, and we're going to look at this. This is really interesting. Okay, this as it goes on, it gets interesting. 2 Corinthians 2. Can you please read that, Mike? All right. What verse do we want to read? We're talking about, verse 10 and 11. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 and 11. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave you anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes I forgave it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, what Mikey's mind says is, what are those? We're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Oh, really? Well, what are they?
What are Satan's devices?
And what when we boil that down from the Greek, as far as talking about Satan's devices, a device in the Greek means a purpose of the mind, the exercises of the mind.
And so what he is saying is he is saying here, we are not ignorant of the purposes in Satan's mind. That's what he's saying. He's saying that we are not ignorant of how the evil one thinks and how he thinks about us and how he thinks about attacking us. Oh, really? Well, what is that? Let's look at them. All right? Let's look at some of the ones that Mikey has come up with, maybe.
Somebody
said, don't trust everything that I'm saying. You look at it for yourself in the scriptures, right?
Amen.
All right. Who is Satan? All right. Well, who is the fallen Lucifer? Did you know that you say, oh, there's Luciferian worshipers on the planet? Well, that's kind of goofy. Because he's not Lucifer anymore. He's Satan. Lucifer was all right. Okay. Because Lucifer was the high priest for the Lord in the heavenlies, I believe. And at that point, he was the most beautiful creation that ever was. I mean, we might want to not give him too much due, but we might want to think about who this one was. And then he fell. And that was a terrible thing for him. And so now he is Satan. Okay, and what is Satan like? Okay, here's some of his titles. He's a liar. He's a murderer. Okay, this all goes with the armor, right? This is who's against you. Whether you want to accept it or not, this is happening to you. Okay? He's a liar. He's a murderer. There's no truth in him. He's a destroyer. He's the accuser. He's the deceiver. He's an imposter. He's a tempter. He's the opposer. He's the one that has the power of darkness. And he is the one that has the power of death. That is your enemy. All right? Then you can make a study about who the Lord is and that he brought light into darkness. Awesome. And then, furthermore, what he's given you is blasting light in the mystery. Yeah. But you have this blasting light of your calling in darkness. And this world is darkness, no matter how much fun they're having. Because their end is the box.
Amen.
Amen. It's a strange thing. It's a strange, strange thing that you see athletes and all these rich people and all this promotion, all this buildup of the life here, the life here, the life here. But nobody talks about dying. Isn't that strange? I mean, seriously, they're fooling themselves as they live. It's bizarre. They're pushing, pumping everything up for 20 or 30 or 40 years, and then they die. But they never talk about it. And they never talk about why. That's crazy. But that is the society of the evil one. You know, because he's going to die too. But he doesn't believe it, maybe. But our world is what? They are running from reality. They're avoiding reality, but they make their reality like it is reality. That's what you're faced with. Okay. So we understand that Satan has devices. Well, what are they? Well, we do know this. We know that in the beginning, when he first attacked mankind, he said three things, the three great lies. Ronnie talks about the two wills in the universe. And that is a matter of fact of what we're dealing with. two wills in the universe. All right, so we're going to look at his basic lies. Has God said it? Ye shall not surely die. Okay? Now, in our world, that's working in there because nobody talks about dying at all. And they try to promote. You know, that's why these women look like some zombies out of a scary movie, because they've been to the surgeon so many times trying to look young, they don't even look human anymore. And what are they doing? They are trying to eliminate death, eliminate aging. And if you try to get a full picture of what your world is, it's crazy. And they're going, moving so fast, and they die. It's crazy. It is. I'm sorry. I can't believe it myself. You know. And so you know. And they say, stay busy. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, I'm busy. What do you do? Oh, I got a lot of activities. I'm busy. I'm doing a lot of things. I keep busy. Keep busy, and then I'm going to fall over, and that's what life is. No, it's not. No, that's not life. That's being ridiculous. That's being a non-believer. That's being somebody that's ignorant. All right? That's what that is. That is not life. And so we have these lies. Ye shall not surely die. Ye shall be as gods. And what is behind this third lie is, you can do it yourself, and you do not need God for you to exist. But the matter of fact is that we were made, that we need Almighty God to exist. Right from the beginning, that's what was told to Adam, more or less. That's what he knew. And he chose the wrong way. And so from that point on, the same lies have been perpetrated. He might use your past experiences against you. He might use your past life against you. He might use your feelings of the old man against you. Think about this. I know that this has got to weave into every one of your lives, being an adopted son of God. Your thoughts that are produced by the wicked human brain, he might use that against you. But the fact of the matter is that the new man is created in true holiness, and that you have the earnest of the Spirit, the new man, which is a holy entity of God within you. That's a fact. And that's what we have to draw off of. And then, you know, we go on into understanding what walking after the new man is all about. It all works together. And like I said before, how can you think that anybody like you can be an adopted son of the Holy Almighty God? He can use that against you. But the fact of the matter is that that's a lie. That's a lie. And so, are you an adopted son with a super heavenly calling? You bet you are. That's the facts. You know, and if nobody understands it or thinks you're flea-brained or you're ready for the loony bin or something, he can use that against you. All right, but that's not the facts. Okay, so how much time do we have here, Forrest?
5-10 minutes.
5-10 minutes. All right. All right. So we have a helmet. Okay. Now we looked at the shield. Oh well, I'll tell you what. Let's look at faith. Okay. Right. It's talking about the shield of faith. And so let's talk about this piece of armor that's given the highest significance. Above all, taking the shield of faith, the highest degree. Why is that? Why is that? Why does God the Holy Spirit make faith so important?
All right. Let's look at Hebrews 1. Of course, we know a couple of these things. Why is faith so important? Is faith important to you?
Amen.
Yes. Is faith truly important? All right? I mean, you know, we can turn this a number of different ways. You know? In Hebrews 11, we know this. Now, faith is the title deed or the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of things not seen. We are called by a God that we do not see. We are called by faith, and we have not seen a miracle. We have not seen anybody raised from the dead. We have not seen a leper healed. Nevertheless, we are called to this highest calling of God. And so faith becomes an extremely important part of our existence. I mean, think about it. I mean, really. Really. I mean, you know, who am I to say these things? All I know is that this is really important for all of us. It is. All right, so goes on to say, for by faith the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds or the dispensations were framed by the word of God, Christ himself, so that things which are seen were made by things are seen were not made by things which do appear. And so we believe in a creator that we do not see. All right, so we understand this weapons of our warfare is spiritual. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see the death. Is Enoch dead or alive? Enoch is dead. Because verse 13 tells you that. This is one thing that I'm going to say. He did not see the flood. He did not see the death. That's the flood. For some odd reason, God translated him so that he did not see the flood of Noah. Is he dead? Yeah. He's not translated and whirling around in the clouds anymore. Sorry. But I know a lot of people believe that. You know, we can have fun in the scriptures, right? Okay. Very good then. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, much less knowing the mystery. I'll add that. All right, so if faith was important during the Acts period, if seeking after him pleases him, and he rewards you for seeking after him, how much more is your faith important nowadays? How much more important is that shield of faith, knowing this calling and knowing you have this enemy? That's the point. I mean, really. Really, I don't know how to communicate that to your heart and mind, but I do know, no matter who I am, what I'm saying is true. I can be Joe Schmo from Sheboygan, Wisconsin or something, being standing up here. It doesn't matter who I am.
Bosco Bell.
What?
Bosco Bell.
Yeah. Instead, I'm Misi Kalski from the Alps. I don't know, man. That guy's mind is wild. Forrest here. He's awesome, though. Romans 10. Okay. Now, eventually, how much time do we have?
5 to 10.
5 or 10? Okay.
Are you talking about your sentence, or are you talking about time?
Oh, no, time. Because eventually we're going to find out. Now, the Son of God came here, right? And it's interesting that when he came here, he was tempted, right? He was taken out into the desert, and he was tempted of the evil one.
And we're going to look at that maybe today or tomorrow. And we're going to look at the responses of the Son of God. And you probably know that. But nevertheless, it's very important. The responses of the Son of God to this deceiver, opposer, destroyer. Think about it. The Son of God in the flesh. This one has the audacity. Think about it. Either he's a total madman. Some people say Satan is so mad and he's so enamored with himself, which could be. It's called narcissism. You love yourself. To its further extent, you'd love yourself like you look at yourself in the mirror and you want to kiss yourself.
Take a selfie.
Seriously. I think that humans are some of the most narcissistic people love themselves so much that they might even love themselves like you would your mate. I don't know. But if in fact, and see, we see the promotion of that in our world, right? Selfie. I want to throw up anymore. I don't want to watch TV. I don't have a cell. My wife has my cell phone. She even tells me what my number is, because I don't know my cell number. I don't have a pad. I know how to email. I don't know how to text. And I don't care. I'm sorry. You can say, well, you're just a cranky old phony. Okay? That's all right. But anymore, self is like... I told the guys, there was a couple that took some selfies while they were on a cliff and they fell off.
Oh, no.
That's terrible that I would laugh at them. But it's like, a selfie. I mean, that is a banner of our times, a selfie. And then let's say you're a son of God walking on the planet. How do you deal with that? Because you're not a selfie. How do you deal with that? That's a trial, isn't it? How do you deal with people that emanate self? I can't stand it. I don't know how to do. I don't know how to. How do you interact with that? I guess you're supposed to be like them, right? For them to respect you or something. And if you're not, you're goofy. Seriously, that's the power that's becoming in human beings in these last days. Let's look at Romans 10, 13 through 17, and basically I'll just look at a little bit of faith and then we'll come back to this lesson tomorrow, okay? And seriously, I truly, I wanted to do this, if these words would be helpful to you guys, gals and guys, helpful to you. Because I don't know. I don't have a written account of what you're facing day by day by day by day. I don't have a written account of how you're hurting or your afflictions or your trials. I don't have an account of that. Blah, 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 blah. Never, and I shouldn't. But the point of it is that since you're adopted sons of God, I would hope that this would help you in your understanding of your walk through this place. The Lord has you here. He didn't take you. Stefan and I were talking about that. What does he have us here for?
Glorify him.
What?
Glorify him.
Okay, valid question. Wouldn't it be better if he just took us all off? No suffering, no pain, manifested in glory, whatever. It's valid to ask. Why do I have this calling? Why does he have me here? What's wrong with that? Do you think that that's being too, is that being rebellious? I don't think so. Do you?
No.
All right. What does he have us here for? Stand for our calling, stand fast. That's all part of this armor too. You are here for his purpose. Now, you are his. You're bought with a price. You're his.
Amen.
All right? So he has the right. He has the right to do what he wants with you. I mean, he does. He has the right to do that. He bought you with a price. We forget that. I forget that. Who do I think I am? That's what my wife sings to me when I get when I get over, like I think I'm something cool. She'll say, "Mr. Big Stuff, who do you think you are?" And then I'll feel like a midget. You know, but, you know, who do we think we are? We're bought with a price, with the precious blood of God, you know. So we got go on in Romans 10. Romans 10, 13 through 17. "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall we call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall we believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall we hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the good message of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the good message, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Ephesians 2, 4 through 8, and then I'll end with this. And then what I'm going to do tomorrow is I'm going to go back and I'll take up the helmet a little bit of, again. I'll take up the breastplate of righteousness. That's very important because it's an understanding of what your righteousness is and what your righteousness in Him is. And so you have this breastplate that guards something. You have this helmet that guards something. You gird up your loins that mean something. You have your feet shod with the good message of war? No. The good message of peace.
Amen.
And you have the good message of the peace of the mystery, and that we have peace with God. We are not at war with Him in His Son. And so we're going to get a little bit into that. But so let's end with Ephesians 2, 4 through 8. Okay? And I hope that I can just say to you that, you know, I hope this wasn't too disjointed, but that it did have, you know, it makes sense to you. It makes sense to you, and I want to stress how important this is. And I want to stress to you that how serious it is and how serious it is to be called by the Most High God and given what you're given, even though we're but flesh. So what? You know, this is the fact of the matter. It's the reality of why we come together and love each other and have a unity in the Spirit, right? I mean, you know, it's as real as it gets. Ephesians 2, 4 through 8. And it states, "But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and has raised us up together." It's a done deal in His mind. "And made us sit together in heavenly places in the super heavenlies, far above all things." Man, I mean, if you start pondering these things, we're so limited, it's ridiculous. We're so limited, right? You know, we're so limited to this planet. But try to think beyond it. And then try to think beyond that. And then try to think beyond that to the possible furthest extents of that, which is, I don't know if you can, and then think beyond that. And that's where your calling is. I mean, whoa. You can say, whoa. Yeah, you can say, whoa. I mean, that's a little streetlight talk, but that's who our God is, you know. And that's why you're being attacked, really. Because you know these things, you know. Wow, it's incredible. "That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through
faith, and not of yourselves.
It is the gift of God. All right, so I hope that this was edifying to you, and that we're going to take this up tomorrow in the morning.